playoffs, and it is time for the FedEx Cup playoffs. The first week is underway out in New York there. And one of the stories of the week was the last-minute withdrawal of number 22 on the points list, Patrick Reed, who is apparently second week in a row he's had to pull out due to an ankle injury. And between Patrick Reed's withdrawal, which people say is hurting his chances for the Ryder Cup team, we have Dustin Johnson, who cracked his driver, apparently realized it before he teed off yesterday, and only had a 5-7 wood in his bag. So he was able to send somebody to his car, and they brought him back a 3-wood, but he didn't have an extra driver with him, which apparently, according to some people, including Nick Faldo, who said that there were certain clubs you always made sure you had an extra one, Johnson apparently might have to play this week without a driver. He's looking to see if he can get one with his specs.
Yeah, I tell you, those are two strange developments. In the case of Patrick Reed, I think this probably eliminates him as a factor in the Ryder Cup, even though he had some good showings in there. That team has got its issues personality-wise. Whoever Steve Stricker picks, and Patrick Reed would not be an easy guy to get along with. So I think that the injuries coupled with the fact that he isn't up the standards play-wise as he had been in previous years, I think that just rules him off as even a possibility for the Ryder Cup. Now, this stuff with Dustin Johnson is fascinating. I can't imagine a PGA Tour player of that stature with not an extra club like that around. I mean, he wouldn't travel with it. A caddy should keep him protected. I mean, especially a driver, especially a Dustin Johnson with the driver, which is such a key club for him. So I don't know what to make of that one. It seems somebody made a bad mistake there. It could have been Dustin, could have been his brother caddy trouble. But if you want to win that FedEx Cup, that $10 million.
Well, you would think there'd be somebody, or you would think if you're TaylorMade, the company of clubs that he plays, it's New York City. I mean, how hard would it be for TaylorMade to build one up and have it sent there? And the TaylorMade truck had probably left town already and is headed for Caves Valley, next week's BMW Championship in Maryland. But couldn't those guys build one up? Somebody back in the trailer, you know, pull off somewhere and overnight FedEx it to them? You would think there's so many ways to get this done, or TaylorMade must have an agreement with somebody in New York City that could build Dustin a driver in like no time, or a couple of them, and take him over there. And you would have think this morning he'd be out in the range testing one until he finds one he likes.
Yeah, I got to tell you, given the money involved and the stature of the playoffs and all that, that just simply adds to the weird nature of this story. I mean, I would think that rather than him just having, this isn't the days of old where players did a lot of work with their clubs in their garage, and now the equipment companies do it for them, they certainly would have ways to get a club to Dustin Johnson before this first tournament is, even before this tournament is over, if not before a round is played. Well, that's a story worth following, though. It's very, especially worth following. It's an interesting one. To me, it's a lot more, more interesting. I'm kind of tired of the DeChambeau-Koepka feud, if that's what it is, and I'd rather have these kind of stories to kind of ponder at this stage of the game.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, and, you know, again, I've got to believe that unless Patrick Reed comes back next week at the BMW Championship, you know, he was 22 on the points list. So I got to believe not playing this week isn't going to eliminate him from next week's field. And unless he comes back and he has a top three finish, he might be finished for the Ryder Cup. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that's all going to play out. But I believe already a couple of players have clinched spots on the Ryder Cup team. Based on the points they have and the points left standing, there's the top two guys at the list. One of them is Colin Morikawa. I know for a fact that he is on the team. And I believe a second player has also clinched as well. So some of Steve Stricker's team is starting to take shape.
Well, that's true, but you know, this year, as I understand it, I think I'm right about this. He gets 6 captain's picks. Is that correct this time around? Because
that is correct. Yeah, of course they did it. They did that based on the fact they were going to play last year, and yeah. They didn't know how many tournaments were going to get canceled. They didn't do things. So, but then when they pushed it back a year, they should have switched back the amount of captain's picks because there was plenty of time for guys to go out and earn their spots on the golf course, and the PGA of America didn't do that.
Yeah, Steve Stricker basically will be deciding. I don't know if any Ryder Cup captain ever had this luxury, if you call it a luxury. It certainly puts the pressure on Steve to use those 6. He's picking half the team. He's got a lot of pressure on him. If they do well, he picked the team. If he didn't do well, he picked the team. You know, it's an interesting situation for Stricker to be in. I don't know if I would want to be in that position. I always felt that, you know, 4 was the right number. I thought if you want to have be sure the best players are available, even if they didn't quite crack the point list standards. But
well, I'm looking at the point list, and Len, speaking of Dustin Johnson, he officially, they've decided this week that he has enough points, and he has clinched a spot on the team. So Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson are definitely on the team. The funny thing is, though, who is sitting 3rd and 4th on the points list? Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, 3 and 4. Right behind
them. They'll be paired together.
Yeah, there you go. They are paired together in the 3 and 4 slot right now. Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele are 5 and 6. The next 6 guys will be captain's picks. And then the guys that are on the bubble, so to speak, for the other 2 spots that are guaranteed spots at this point are Jordan Spieth, followed by Harris English, Patrick Reed, Daniel Berger. I don't know. Daniel Berger doesn't jump out at me as a guy that I'm excited about having on the team. You know, you say what you want about Patrick Reed. You know, Patrick Cantlay's in 11th place. Tony Finau. You got Webb Simpson in 13th. Scheffler in 14th. Jason Kokrak in 15th. Not a lot of, you know, a lot of people. There's always a lot of support because Kevin Kisner plays so well in match play. And there's people who think that he should be on the team. Phil Mickelson, yes or no? You know, I don't know. Phil gave Steve, and people said, kind of an open the door there to not put him on. Phil said, yeah, he won at the PGA, and he'd like to be on the team, but he hasn't been very consistent since. And then you go down a few slots. You got Gary Woodland in 23rd place, but Woodland hasn't done a whole heck of a lot since he won the U.S. Open 2 years ago. And then you have right behind him, you have Brian Harman. You have Matt Wolf. Our friend Kevin Streelman has moved up to 27th place after last week. And he's a good showing this week could easily put him into the top 20. So, you know, there's a lot of options here, a lot of options for Steve Stricker.
A lot of options. I don't know how Kisner cannot be on the team. His record as a match play player, and plus the fact that he won such a late season event. I mean, he seems like a logical choice, and I think that Jordan Spieth would be a popular choice. That would be an easy pick for Stricker, given the fact that he's had a much improved season. Beyond that, it is really a wide open thing. I mean, I would want to play out these tournaments and. Ryder Cup spots would certainly be on the line as the way they perform in the FedEx Cup Series.
Well, Len, we do have some sad news we wanted to pass along. We want to send our condolences to Hall of Famer Gary Player on the passing of his wife, Vivianne, who passed away apparently within the last couple of days. I know that they were, I believe, married for a very long time. And again, condolences to the Black Knight and all of his friends and family.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer took her. She was a great lady and a very, like with Winnie Palmer, Barbara Nicholas, they carried the banner of their husbands very well, right along with them through some very brilliant golf careers. Yeah, certainly, their marriage I think, players that was in over 60 years, I think. So, yeah, it's always would be a sad thing, especially given the fact that she had those health problems at the end. So definitely our sympathies to Gary Player, one of the most popular players of all time.
Well, Len, we have some tournaments back on the calendar next week. First of all, close to home, the Illinois PGA Section Championship will make its debut at the Ivanhoe Club in the northern suburbs here of Illinois. And I know that there's been some other IPGA Section events up there over the years, so the players should be pretty familiar with the golf course, but it'll be interesting to see this major championship played there.
All eyes on Mike Small. Once again, I mean, he's won the tournament 13 times, quite a record. And for any winners of any tournament like that to have such domination in an event. Now, Mike, he did not play well at all. Very un-Mike Small showing in the Illinois Open. But he bounced back to win the Illinois PGA Senior Championship for the fifth time in a row. Now, that's not the same as this, by any means, as the field that he'll be facing at Ivanhoe. But you got to go in thinking that Mike Small's the man to beat.
And then later in the week, down at the French Lick Resort, one of our favorite travel destinations, the Senior LPGA Championship. And will it be the swan song? Will French Lick, it's supposed to be the last year of the deal, will it be the last year they host the tournament? Will they take a break for a while and then welcome it back? It's all interesting, and we'll have to get down there hopefully next week and get a handle on that event. But, you know, one of the great tournaments around the Midwest, and French Lick has hosted it for several years. Unfortunately, not last year because of the pandemic, but I'm sure a lot of people down there will be glad to see the championship back.
Well, French Lick has done such a great thing for the sake of senior women's golf. They basically did it themselves. Now, of course, the LPGA, they have renamed the tour the Legends of the LPGA, which is long overdue. But the Legends Hall of Fame is at French Lick, even though the tournament is making its swan song this year. This is a weird one for me because I've been to every one of the tournaments they've had there, four Legends Championships plus the two Senior LPGA Championships, and I'm going to have to miss this one for some family commitments. But I think that French Lick it may help the event on the one hand because it kind of freshens the tournament up, gives it another sight. The Legends Hall of Fame, well that's not going to leave. And French Lick has made, I think, a pretty wise decision to upgrade and to put a higher premium on the Symetra Tour event that it holds on its Donald Ross course every year. So women's golf is certainly remains a high priority at that resort in Indiana, which I agree with you, it's certainly been one of my favorites for at least about the last 10 years. So I wish them nothing but the best. I'm only sorry that I'm going to stop there on the way back to Chicago for a night, but I'm sorry I can't see any of the tournament rounds this year.
Well, Len, speaking of tournaments, it was very surprising to me after spending about 10 minutes on the property at the historic Moraine Country Club that opened its doors in Dayton in 1930 that they would be hosting the 2024 Western Amateur. And, you know, if you went to this year's Western Amateur at the Glenview Club in the program, they talked about 2022 over at Exmoor, which was known. Exmoor was supposed to host some years back and pushed back because they landed the Senior Players Championship at the time. But there was also an announcement in there about 2023 over at North Shore Country Club that hadn't been previously known. And now Moraine Country Club in Ohio, there's an incoming, I believe, Western Golf Association president from Ohio who's a member at Moraine, and the Western Amateur is going there. And this golf club, let me tell you, Len, it's currently now on two classic top 100 lists after being on nobody's radar, but the Keith Foster renovation of 5 years ago has got people looking at Moraine, and it was easy to see why. 14 of the holes with the incredible elevation changes and the new look. I believe that close to 2,000 trees were removed. There's some holes where you really don't see trees, but there's still some trees on plenty of holes. Four of the holes close to the clubhouse are fairly flat, but the other 14 or so have some really good elevation change in the new bunkering, and the two par three holes on the back nine have been improved during the renovation by Keith Foster. There was just repeated issues, and so he moved a couple of greens and tees, and those two holes are called the Foster holes, but there was a couple of holes that were done by Dick Wilson, who actually came over after the initial layout was built. But about 20-some years later or so, when Wilson was in the area, as a matter of fact, right next door working at National Cash Register Country Club, the NCR, Wilson would come over and the club would approach him and he'd fix a couple things while he was in town working at NCR. And so there was a couple little things that were attributed to Dick Wilson, but this golf club is really good. It's still pretty much, other than about three or four changes, is still pretty much the golf course from 1930. And, you know, a place looking forward to its centennial just 9 years out.
Yeah, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about that course. I think I'm sure it'll be a great site for the Western amateur. And Ohio has long been, I think, not really recognized for getting its just due, but it's a state that has long had some great courses out over there. Scioto, Firestone, I mean, it was got a lot, of course, to say nothing about Muirfield Village. And it's really a good state for golf. And, of course, Dick Wilson seems to be surfacing in my world quite a bit lately. I mean, I'm seeing a Dick Wilson course being renovated by a Chicago architect, Mike Benkuski, right outside my window here in Sarasota, Florida. And, of course, Dick Wilson, as we all know in Chicago, he was one of the co-designers of the famous Dubs Red course at Cog Hill. So that Ohio course that the Western amateur guys are going to get to play has got both history and a good updating from what I can tell, and I think they're going to be very happy there.
The championship layout that goes over 7,200 yards right now, there is a little bit of an interesting touch there, and they won't do it early in the week, but later in the week when there's down to just a couple of matches per day, the back tees for the first hole are actually on the back side of the good-sized putting green. It was interesting to putt around and practice on the putting green and look over to one corner of it and see tee markers there on the other side of the cups that were in for putting practice. So interesting little touch, but apparently on some of the very old courses that this is not something new, but it's a place where architects are finding yardage at some of the older clubs that are somewhat landlocked. And, you know, right next door, the day before, I was over at NCR, and it's an amazing, the South course is an amazing golf course. The North course, I'm told, is very good too. I was able to see some of the holes and they look great. What's amazing is the multi-million dollar performance center that is going in. And, you know, we talk about some of the performance centers here like Mistwood and places like that, but I saw what's getting built there and range being improved. And this is going to be six hitting bays with TrackMan, and it's all going to be built and standing by the time that hopefully people like Jamie Fisher and Nicole Jarre arrive for the U.S. Senior Women's Open next year, which, again, I'm told now has a new date. That tournament, which was in July this year and I believe carried over into August, being moved back to later in August, being pushed back about a month. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I met with some club officials at NCR while I was there, and they are hoping that this is the first of maybe a few more USGA events over the next decade or so. And also, I got a chance to walk through the part of the club that was rebuilt just over the last couple of years, because they actually had a clubhouse fire. And they were very fortunate that late in November, one employee was still on the grounds working at the pool building and happened to see the smoke coming out of the clubhouse, or this big historic clubhouse that had been there for years would likely have been a total loss.
Yeah, that's a lot to digest right there. I'm glad you're all over that one because you'll have that story to tell for quite a while, I think.
Sure will. And, you know, I know that the staff there, the general manager and the golf professional have worked with the WWGA in the past at other clubs. And I know they're ready to discuss perhaps a WWGA event there in the next few years. And we'll have to see if that actually happens. One thing that is happening here closer to home, Len, the new clubhouse is done over at Waveland, a part of the first tee of Greater Chicago, and they are inviting everyone to come for an open house on August 31st from 4 to 7 p.m. And I know that various names locally in the golf architecture side, Luke Donald, Todd Quitno from Lohman Quitno Architects have been involved there. A variety of people have been involved there in redoing that facility over at Waveland for the first tee of Greater Chicago.
You know, that's a great site for the first tee, and it's great that everybody seems to be pulling together. I mean, Waveland was always had such a popular, good vibe feeling with the people in Chicago, the golfers in Chicago. It's really a beautiful place, but it really got played very heavily. And I think it's just great that for the kids in Chicago, especially, they're the ones that are really benefiting from this whole thing. But it's really great that it seems like it's one project where all the leaders of golf in Chicago and headed by Luke Donald, who's done his share for a whole bunch of groups there, that they're all pulling together on this one project. I think it's just a great feel good thing.
Well, Len, Heritage Oaks, the former sportsman, Northbrook Park District has opened, and I went out there with my Golfers on Golf radio partner, Ed Stevenson, and we played the golf course and also got a chance to tee it up and meet for the first time my local state representative, Jonathan Carroll, and a good friend of his. And we all had a fun time, and I think we were all in agreement that everything that the Northbrook Park District has done is absolutely outstanding over there. The new clubhouse is really good. The improvements to the practice facilities are really good. The massive brand new putting green behind the clubhouse is really good. And they really focused on the tees, the fairways, and the greens. The greens needed a lot of work. Rick Jacobson, the architect there, did a fantastic job. I think the greens are in great shape. And they rolled very well, surprisingly, for new greens at this point that, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit. But there was a couple of areas that were not addressed as part of the plan. And, you know, Len, as we all know, everybody's got a budget. But I would like to see the Northbrook Park District, you know, let them get open for a while, let them get the golfers there. They were closed for almost 2 years. But I think three things that they could do if they have a second part to their master plan here would be to replace the golf cart fleet, redo the bunkers, and also have a tree removal project that I think kind of covers up some of the great work that they did and Rick Jacobson did. And I think if they opened up the golf course a little bit more, more golfers could really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting over there. That's high on my list of things to do when I'm spending a month or two back in the Midwest. That's one really looking forward to that one. I mean, we've already seen the great things done at the preserve at Oak Meadows, and big projects are also being finished up in Elk Grove at Fox Run and Settlers Hill out in Geneva, which that'll be carried over into next year. But it's been a really extraordinary year for public facilities to really tackle some very ambitious upgrading projects. So all something we can look forward to as time goes on in the near future.
In the final couple minutes we have here, we will rapid fire through a few of these topics. You and I have talked about new clubs coming out at all times of the year now, and we just had a major announcement come out here today. Bridgestone has announced its brand new golf ball, and so much for waiting for the PGA show in January, but this brand new Bridgestone ball has apparently just hitting the market.
You know, that's the funniest thing, and I noticed that story out, and I'm a guy who likes to experiment with golf balls a lot. And Bridgestone, I've been starting to use those this year more than I ever did before, and it's not the only ball I play, but I like them a lot. So I'm going to make a purchase and just see what this one's like. I'm not quite the sophisticated on golf balls, but whatever works for you works. And occasionally the Bridgestone has done pretty good by me.
Another story coming out yesterday, a little bit of a ticket scandal at the USGA. Apparently a former employee was stealing thousands of dollars worth of tickets, broke for the US Open, brokering them out through brokers, and putting a lot of money in his pocket.
I understand it was a lot. The last book, I read something that it was up to $3 million. I don't know how they ever compute exactly what this guy got away with, but boy, the USGA is right on it. I can imagine a guy being able to pull off something like that. Well, obviously he didn't because he got caught. So anyway, it's a story that something really different in golf. You don't hear of ticket scams in golf. Maybe it's just more of a sign of the times or changes in the game that something like that could happen.
Well, he got away with, in essence, scalping U.S. Open tickets for 7 years before he got caught and was fired from the USGA. Len, I believe a congratulations is in order for our good friend Nick Hardy, the Northbrook resident who went off and played college golf at the University of Illinois for Mike Small. He has finally, after all these years, earned a PGA Tour card.
Yeah, and so did Dylan Wu, the former Northwestern star. And I really am hoping that after this Korn Ferry Tour playoffs conclude and another 2 weeks to run after this week's tournament, that Vince India of Deerfield, former Illinois Open, Illinois State amateur and Iowa star player from Deerfield, I hope that Vince can get himself into the PGA Tour ranks as well, because he's been close a couple of times, and he's been really sticking with it. I really admire his stick-to-itiveness, and I'm hoping that he'll be on the PGA Tour next year as well.
All right, Len, final thought today. One of the national publications came out with their rankings of the 11 best golf resorts in America that they felt offered the most on and off the golf course. So I'm going to put the challenge out to you here. In a couple weeks from now, you and I will spend an edition of the Zeman Spears podcast series debating the best golf travel destination resorts. And it's not just who has the most golf courses, who has the best golf courses, but who also has the nicest places to stay, who has the best food and beverage, who may offer things on property or very close by, such as spas, casinos, and or other things that people can do when we're not on the golf course. So I'm going to challenge you, give you a couple of weeks to think about it. I'll spend a couple of weeks to think about my picks, and we'll put together our list of people that we think are the top travel destinations in America that offer the visitor or the guest the most on and off the golf course combined. How about that?
I'm excited about that. That's going to be a real fun project. I kind of know where the directions I'll be going, but the more I think about it, it's going to be hard because I've been to an awful lot of nice places doing these golf travel pieces that we've been doing, destination pieces over the last 11 years. So I'm sure you and I'll have some common thoughts there, but we'll have some differences of opinion too. It's going to be a fun show.
All right, Len, that's all for this week. And next week we'll talk about the Illinois PGA and the French Lick Resort and the Senior LPGA. And with that, have a great weekend.